Hey, this is Father Voskin, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast about life and love, about spirituality and all things spiritual. Actually, it's a podcast that lets you look at life through some very old lenses in a very new way. We call it Armadoxy, and we welcome you to sit back, relax, enjoy. If you want, walk with us, crawl with us. If you're up to it, how about running with us? Because this is a podcast made possible through the good folks at Apostle.net, apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So if you're ready, let's take the next step. Okay, I did it. Now let go of my arm. Oh, the things that we endure over here just to get this podcast out. Yes, Ken, you are the biggest violator. Oh, we're so glad that you're with us. We switched it up a little bit, didn't we, at the beginning? But you know what this is all about. We're taking a look at life through the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy, but it's not just the look. You know, it's living. It's living those principles that have been handed down. These principles that come to us from a very unique, unique place on earth. And we call it Armadoxy because it is the new look. We're in a new era, in a new time. And there is so much that we can learn from the past and apply it to today. That's what we're about. So we're glad that you're with us. And you want proof of it? Hey, we're doing it over here. A lot of love in our heart. Yes, Ken, even you. We have a lot of love in our heart to get this message out. I mean, think about it. Jesus Christ, the manifestation of love. Love incarnate, giving us, well, not only the message through his words, but giving us an example of living through his life. Explaining by the sacrifice he makes for us. And that love is the key to everything in our life. That love, when you can do that sacrificial love, when you can practice it, you find that everything falls into place. And here's a group of people that have been keeping this a secret, not because of any will of their own, but because of all the politics, because of all the wars, the famines, the genocides that have gone through this little area called Armenia. This message has never gotten out. Well, it's getting out now, and people are reacting. That's why we call it Armadoxy, and that's why I think you're listening right now. So I'm glad you're with us today. Hey, I've got to tell you, last week was an eye-opener for me because I guess I overestimated, I'm not sure about the word. Let's just say misestimated our audience. We got a lot of response to Bishop Alamezian's interview, and the interesting part was that people were not certain of what the hierarchy was. I guess I talked about Catholicos, so I want to give a couple minutes to talk about that and the hierarchy of the church. And I guess just from all the comments that we got, it was so impressive. Here was one of the bishops of the Armenian Church talking about ecumenism, about finding God in life. And it was an eye-opener. It was a very, very good interview from all indications, from what people had said. I had fun doing it, and I know the bishop was, he really honored us by being with us for that show. So let me go back. You know, we did explain that he was from the Catholicosate of Cilicia. And I guess some of the comments that we got were from people saying, what is a Catholicos? What is a Cilicia? So, because, you know, as you've been listening to this show, you've been following along and we talk about Etchmiadzin. And so all of a sudden we pull this. Well, let me just explain it this way. The Armenian Church has four hierarchical sees, two of which are Catholicosates. That's how I explained it last week. Well, those two Catholicosates, one is in Etchmiadzin in Armenia, the other one is in Antilias, Beirut. It is called Cilicia because traditionally it was located geographically in Cilicia. But after the genocide of the Armenian people, it was relocated near Beirut in Lebanon. And you got to remember, during the last 90 years, because of all the turmoil post-genocide, because of the Soviet system and atheism, there was a lot of stuff going on in the church. And so there was divisions, there was obviously politics, and there exists this situation where we have two Catholicoi. Now, Catholicos. People said, what is that? Okay, yeah, it's not a pope. it's not a pope. Actually, it's 1 degree higher than a pope, because the Catholicos is consecrated, whereas a pope is elected. The Catholicos is elected and consecrated. So basically, in the Christian church, you have the three main orders: deacon, priest, bishop. All the others are, let's say, augmentations of these orders. You've heard about archbishops, for instance, okay? That's just an honor put upon a bishop. Okay, so you have deacon, priest, bishop. Now, the Armenians have added this fourth order, and it's an order because it is consecrated. They've added this, and it's the Catholicos. The Catholicos is basically the chief bishop, is the chief bishop who, should they be all sitting together, he's the one who runs it. It is not a pope. There is no idea of papal infallibility within Orthodoxy. And there are some there is a unique structure to it. And I don't want to get into it at this point. It's not in the scope of this podcast. There's a lot of places that you can look and read about it. And you do a Google on Catholicosates, you could probably find some information. But here's what I wanted to tell you, that yes, we do have these hierarchical sees. One of them is in Etchmiadzin, Armenia. One of them is in Antilias, Lebanon. Those two are Catholicos. Now, the Catholicos has the unique function of being able to consecrate new bishops. So bishops can only belong either to Etchmiadzin or to the Antilias or Cilicia, let's call it. And the two others I spoke about, I said there are four hierarchical sees. The two others are patriarchates. Now, patriarchates are basically glorified dioceses. There's an archbishop sitting there, there's a bishop, and he's not consecrated a patriarch. His title is that he is the patriarch, but he is an archbishop or a bishop. Now, this archbishop sits at this diocese governing a group of churches. However, these two dioceses have some significant historical background. One is in Jerusalem, of course, the old city, of course, where Jesus Christ moved the early Christian church. And the other one is in Constantinople. Today we call it Istanbul. And of course, the early years of Christianity were developed there in Constantinople. And so you've got these two patriarchates, one in Jerusalem, one in Istanbul, again, just basically glorified dioceses. They cannot consecrate bishops. They get their bishops from either Etchmiadzin or from Antilias, Cilicia. Now, the Catholicos, I should say that the Catholicoi also have in their responsibilities one other added responsibility, and that's to produce the Holy Muron, the Chrism. Now, the Holy Muron is consecrated every 7 years, or when the Catholicos sees fit. In other words, if there's a shortage and they need more, he consecrates it by taking the old Muron. And up until 1990s, I would say, the Muron was basically, there was Muron that was consecrated in Etchmiadzin, Muron that was consecrated in Antilias. 1990, the Catholicoi got together, and I can't remember the exact year. I believe it was 1991, the year of Armenian independence, and they brought the Muron and combined it. And now there is a tradition in the last 20 years of taking some of the Muron that's produced at one of the sees and mixing it in with the Muron produced at the other see. So basically, you're getting one unified Muron. It's beautiful. It's very poetic. It's dramatic. It's one of the wonders of being Armenian. Two for one. Anyway, that's an inside joke for all of our Armenian listeners. But we do start off all of our podcasts with a song of the day, and this is no different today. And when we get back, we'll have Ani Bubbles with us, of course. We've got a great show in store for you. Today, we're going to listen to Yelish Manukyan doing The Fisherman of Sevan. Yeah, let's go to Armenia and listen to this. Here it is. Sevani Zagnors Bara. Thank you. Sevani Zagnors Barra. Those Fishermen of Sevan is the name of that song, and it comes to us off of an album called Echoes of the Mountain by Yerish Manoukian. Fantastic album. You've got to listen to it. A lot of traditional Armenian melodies as well as instruments. And puts us in the mood for today. Got a lot of stuff going on today. And I wanted to share with you some of the passages that we've been reviewing, especially in our Bible study. We've been doing a Bible study now for just about a year. I think in September 9th, it'll be 1 year. So we're almost at the year mark. We've been doing it once a week and right live, right on. We've been doing it for centuries.
No brag. Just thank fact.
You. Yes, we haven't been doing it only for a year. We've been doing it for centuries. But for the last year, we've been doing it online. It is at epostle.net. And last night, we had such a great discussion about St. Mary. And if you get a chance to watch the archive version of it, it's at epostle.net.
No brag. Just fact.
Tell that guy to go away. He's not leaving me alone today, huh? Yes, we have fun here too, don't we? Anyway, apostle.net, you'll find there is a broadcast tab there, and if you go there, you'll find these live shows that we do every Wednesday evening, of course, Pacific time, our California time, so most of the world gets to watch it in archive version. But last night we had a stimulating discussion about St. Mary. We're doing a 3-week session on St. Mary in preparation for the Assumption Feast, and one of the traditions of the Assumption Feast is that we have the blessing of the grapes. And yes, that is a tradition in itself. Now, why do we do that? Why do we go through these things? Why do we go through any of these traditions? Why not just open a Bible and read what it has to say? Well, you could do that. It's kind of not fun, to be honest with you. We have some fun. And of course, you know, one of the beautiful things about Armenian home blessings, as a priest, you get to enjoy the families that open their homes to this blessing. But one of the most unique parts of that home blessing is that we bless water and bread. Bread, of course, for physical needs, water for those spiritual needs. And there's a third thing that we bless in those homes, and that's salt. Because life has to have flavor. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth." But if that saltiness has lost its flavor, for what good is it? It serves no purpose. It is thrown out. In other words, that flavor is essential in life. To enjoy life, to laugh, to love, to share. That's a part of God's design and God's plan. Not for us to just go through some motions, but to live and love. And actually, that's where we started from last night when we talked about St. Mary. It's the idea that so many times, so many Christians, and they're the biggest sinners when it comes to this, are under that illusion that somehow the Christian has to wrap herself up, and just be void of any pleasures in life. No, just the opposite. The Christian is the first person who should be laughing, who should be enjoying, smiling, dancing, singing, and really taking everything that God has in store for us, everything that life throws at us, and enjoying that. And how can you do that? Sometimes life doesn't throw good stuff at you. Well, there is a way of doing it. There is a way when you have that love in your heart. And that's what we talked about, because St. Mary did that. And so we're taking this 3-week course going through St. Mary's life. And last night we talked about the biblical tradition. Next week we're going to be talking about the non-biblical traditions. And the week after we're going to take a purely Orthodox look. It's going to be an interesting 3 weeks, and I invite you to join us. If you don't join us on Wednesday evenings at Apostle, remember they are archived and they are up on the net for you at apostle.net. Now, that being said, before we get to the Bible study, so to speak, of today, because I do want to speak about Matthew chapter 19, some interesting comments. Last Sunday, I had a chance to give a sermon on it, and that's where we're going to go today with it, Matthew chapter 19. But before we do that, life does not throw out good things, as we said a few minutes ago, right? What happens when life doesn't throw those out? Well, we're seeing it unfolding every day in a small little area called Darfur. And Darfur is this little area in the Sudan where, as you, those of you who've been listening to these podcasts and following world events know that for the past several years, there is what is being called genocide. Now, genocide means, unlike suicide, where one person kills himself, or homicide, one person kills another person. Genocide is when you decide to kill off the entire gene pool, all the genes, the entire people. And there is a program of systematic annihilation of the people in Darfur. And this is very close to me and should be to many Armenians because, well, it parallels what happened exactly 100 years ago when the government of Turkey stood up and said that we will annihilate every Armenian that is living within our country. And so the parallels are many, and because we can relate to it, because we have walked in their shoes, there's an opportunity today to get involved. And so I'm calling on people. You know, we talk a lot about it. We do a lot of blogging. We have a lot of programs that are dedicated to Darfur. I want you to really take this seriously, because this is a time in life when we need to get involved, when we cannot just sit back, where it is not enough to just say, well, it's on the news and too bad. We need to do something about it. We talk a good talk about bringing love into the world. We talk a good talk about being Christian and how much we love our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this is the time to put it into action. I find too many people in my life, especially as a priest, too many people who love the talk. And I frankly don't understand what there is to love about a talk, about a God who allows these kind of things to go on. I find the action when God fills us with the power of the Holy Spirit and gives us the strength to do His work. I find that invigorating. I find that's where the love of God has to be spoken. And so let God fill you up. Whatever you can do, get involved. I want you to get on our website, In His Shoes. We have links, of course, to IACT. Get involved with the IACT people every single day. If you do nothing else today, go on Twitter and follow In His Shoes. Follow IACT. Follow Susie. I mean, Susie, you know, she's an incredible person. She does these shows, but she also is constantly on Twitter retweeting what IACT is sending out. So, I mean, really, really important stuff, because it's opportunities for you to plug in immediately. Like, I'm sure you know, let me just repeat it, because it's very important that we all are on the same page. Today, right today, the Sudanese president, al-Bashir, has been charged on counts of genocide by the International Criminal Court. Now, this is the first time that the International Criminal Court, the ICC, has brought charges of genocide against a sitting head of state. I can only think, like, I wish 100 years ago there was such an organization that would have brought these charges against Talat Pasha, against the people of Turkey, about against the Ottoman Empire. But it wasn't. In fact, it wasn't done in Nazi Germany. It wasn't done in Cambodia. This is the first time that it's happening. And we have an opportunity to be the first people to react to it. Think about it. And what is that reaction? It's just picking up a pen. It's typing in a few letters. It's getting the message out. And right now it is at such a critical step, because basically al-Bashir is saying, I'm not going. What are you guys talking about? And we need to send a clear signal to world leaders. That means wherever you're living. If you're living in England, you need to send to your people. If you're living in Spain, you need to send to your people. People in Germany need to send to their people. We here in the United States need to start bombarding the administration by saying that this is a time where we all have to get together and say, there is no immunity for genocide. If you go back to some of the podcasts that we've done, The Next Step, I've talked about morality in very different forms, and I've talked about the morality involved in Well, about like these absolutes. And if you remember, this was maybe about a few podcasts ago, but we talked about moral absolutes. You know, there are things that you can bend the rules with, right? For instance, you're all familiar. It says, do not lie, do not bear false witness. But you know, there are times where that lying was okay. Remember those stories in Nazi Germany? I think they've made movies about them too, right? Of course they have. They've written stories about it. Where the Nazis come to the door, are there any Jews hiding here? No, there aren't. That's a lie. But it saved some lives. So is it okay to lie in those cases? How about it says, do not kill? Is it okay to kill at certain times? How about in self-defense? How about when something so horrible, like would you take a shot at Hitler 2 seconds before he gave the orders for mass extermination? Would you take that shot? Is it okay to kill at that point? Well, these are moral questions. And a lot of times many theologians, many saints actually, have struggled with these questions. And all of them are in gray areas. I got to tell you that. You can't say do not kill all the time. You cannot say do not lie all the time. There are times when you kill, then there are times when you lie. And so in this struggle for me to find a moral absolute, I'll tell you one thing that I cannot find anywhere, any justification for, and that's rape. That to me is the absolute moral absolute where you cannot, you could say do not rape and there are no exceptions. Well, what do you call genocide? What do you call all of these atrocities taking place? These are rape on large scale. It's not the individual. Rape means taking, exerting your will on someone else in rages of hate, of anger. And that's what these countries are doing. That's what al-Bashir is doing. That's what Taylat Pasha did in Armenia. Exerted his will. And as people who have gone through genocide, we have an obligation basically to say enough is enough. There is no excuse for genocide. It is the absolute, absolute worst that it can be. Rape is bad enough. Now amplify that on the scale of an entire people of a country, raping not only the people, the human lives that are at stake, but generations to come. And you want the example? Take a look at the Armenians. For 95 years since the genocide, the Turks did such a number on them that Armenians can't think beyond the genocide. Everything is defined in terms of the genocide. It's just not fair. And we have an opportunity today to do something about it. And I got to tell you, one of the things that we are doing about it is exactly this podcast. This podcast gives us a chance to talk about the ultimate weapon, which until today we haven't used, and that's the weapon of love. Now you say, well, what is that? What are you going to do? Someone's pointing a gun at you? You're going to go tell them you love them? No, it's even greater than that. It's when someone's pointing a cross at you and threatening to nail you at it, to look at them and say, you're forgiven. Because my love, my capacity to love is so much greater than all the hatred that you have in store for you. Martin Luther King did a good job of it, didn't he? For every act of hatred that white America threw out at the African Americans, he combated it with incredible acts of love. His capacity to love far exceeded the capacity for others to do harm, to hate. And I think that this podcast, the message that we have in Armadoxy, is that message. Because you look at the Armenian people throughout the centuries and you say, what weapons did they have? Well, they had one weapon. It was the weapon of love. They didn't have bombs. They didn't have strategy. But that lesson of love, that ultimate love of sacrifice, of healing, of redemption, was the weapon of choice that brought them to where they are today. In other words, basically a survival instinct, but on top of the survival, they had the ability to create, to become mini gods in a sense. What do I mean by that? Basically, God took nothing and created something. Armenians likewise had nothing and created something, created a life around them, created the structure. Now, is that perfect? No, of course not. But it gives us a look at what that perfection can be, the capacity to love. Now, I'm calling on everybody to get involved. You know, In His Shoes, this is a cornerstone to In His Shoes philosophy, walking in the shoes of others. Get involved any way you can. InHisShoes.org. Go to IACT. Follow the twits. Send letters out. But mostly, prepare yourself through the fasting rituals, through the prayer rituals. Get on our website. Check out what Armenian Orthodoxy is about. Find that the real love that God places in your heart has that capacity to change, to really move mountains, to really melt stone. Basically, to bring an end to the terrors of genocide and hatred in this world. Yeah, is that far-fetched? Is that a dream? I believe in that dream, and I invite you to be part of that. Hey, listen, I didn't mean to go on so much about this, but I'm glad we did. I'm glad we had an opportunity. It's been a while since we've talked about Darfur here on this podcast, and it is really something that we deal with day in and day out. Wanted you to be a part of it. Why don't we take a break right now, have Susie make her announcements, tell you why it's so important for you to get plugged into Epostle. When we get back, I promise we're going to have Ani with her bubbles for today, and I'll be back with a message about Matthew chapter 19.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the third year of production and growing daily with new listeners around the globe. This new message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. Epostle.net is the voice of Armadoxy, committed to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we need to avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at the InHisShoes.org website. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for the reminder. Yeah, we call it a commercial. It's our little commercial. It's our little way of saying that, hey, these things don't happen by accident. It requires all of us to get involved. And at different levels, there are people who can do. There are people that can write checks. There are people that can talk. There are people that can spread the news. And you know what? This is really one of the most dynamic and really just exciting times to be living in, because we have technology at our fingertips. And if you like this show, okay, you want to do something about it, sure, press on the donate button. Equally as important is, you know, send it to a friend, send the link out, blog about it, write it up on your Facebook page, write epostle.net, put it someplace, tweet about it, get the word out, because it is so essential that people plug into this, and at the same time that we find the resources, the means to continue these kind of broadcasts and podcasts. I mean, this is really a vision that we've had, and it's a vision that I believe that God has placed in our heart. It is too beautiful of a thing, Armenian Orthodoxy, for us to just let it go by the wayside. It is too beautiful to just keep it among a few people and inside some monastery walls. Armenian Orthodoxy is a way of life. It's a way of living and practicing love in every portion of your life. And that requires prayer. It requires our commitment. So when you commit, I know it's easy, press the donate button, but think about commitment on a long term, weekly, monthly, annually. What can you do? Sending a check in. You know, our address, let me give it to you. We're at the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center. You can make the check out right to that name, 632 West Stalker Street in Glendale, California. So many ways, but the fastest way, as Susie said, go right on our website, inhisshoes.org, epostle.net. Press on the donate button. It's secure, it's fast, and it's a way to keep reminding all of us that technology has a purpose. service. It is a tool, and with that tool, we're able to do some great things. So I want to thank all of you who do participate and encourage all those who are ready to participate to really press on those buttons, send in your checks, and those are the important things that, and I say, it's a commercial, not hiding it. It takes money, you know it. You know that if you're listening to this on your iPod, you're listening to it on your computer, wherever you're listening, you know it takes money to have those little gadgets and that little electronics, and it takes even more on this side to produce that. But we are thankful to God for this opportunity, and most thankful for you, to have you as our listener. Well, this music can mean only one thing. It is music to my ears. I know it is to yours, too. It's tickling my ear. Here is Ani with today's spiritual bubble.
Today's spiritual bubble is about trying to change the world, by an unknown monk. When I was a young man, I wanted to change the world. I found it was difficult to change the world, so I tried to change my nation. When I found that I couldn't change the nation, I began to focus on my town. And when I couldn't change the town, as an older man, I tried to change my family. Now, as an old man, I realize the only thing that I can change is myself. And suddenly, I realize that if long ago I had changed myself, I could have made an impact on my family. My family and I could have made an impact on our town. Their impact could have changed the nation. And I could have indeed changed the world. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Wanted to give a little bit of time for that to sink in. That was so perfect. Ani, did you know what I was talking about today? But yeah, we need to work on ourselves, get that love inside of us, and then we can see we can do some incredible stuff. Thank you so much. That was so perfect. Yes, you can go. Ani is on her way to Children's Hospital. She's doing some great stuff over there and taking a little break to come and do the bubbles for us right now. Hey, you know what? We put her blog right on our show notes. So if you get a chance, check out her blog. Some interesting stuff that she writes about in the world of nursing. I believe it's a magazine called Scrubs. Is that it? Yeah. It's an e-magazine. It is on the net. Like I said, on the show notes, we have a little link to it. You press it and you find some big things over there. Anyway, that is Ani's Bubbles. And I told you there was an interesting story. It's not funny. It's a cute story. We were at a concert with the In His Shoes group last Sunday evening. It was the Element Band concert over at the Starlight Bowl. And we were sitting there, and I was sitting next to a gentleman named Otta, and he was right next to me. And somebody in the audience was starting to blow bubbles, and the bubbles were going up in the air, and they were floating all the way out to the stage. It was so pretty. And I looked over at Ani and I go, "Hey, Ani, look at the bubbles." And Otta right next to me turns to me and goes, "Oh, is that Ani Bubbles?" And it just clicked to me. Yes, that is. I mean, that here's the personality in the midst of this big amphitheater. There was Ani Bubbles. I guess he had to be there. It was just too cute. It was too cute of a moment. Ani Bubbles in person. Maybe we should do something. Well, she's already left the studio. I'll contract with her later. See about doing an evening with Ani Bubbles. Wouldn't that be great? All right. Let's get to our message for today.
Sava bites nore ora in ora yev who said nora yes I'd come up so sushaskata Uyer parmatneris veradarza Ins Gitarschemin, him ganz aranli, daran vera patrast kachvatser banalin.
Okay, I told you I wanted to talk about Matthew 19, and it's not because of anything arbitrary. It happened to have been the reading prescribed by the Armenian Church, the lectionary reading for last Sunday, and I thought it was interesting. I got a lot of comments about the sermon, and I wanted to really expand on that today and share some thoughts with you because, you know, on the surface, it's a story about divorce. And of course, divorce is something that not too many people want to talk about. Of course not. It's not pleasant. And in fact, many times, not many times, every time that I counsel a couple, premarital counseling, young couples in particular, I have them contemplate about divorce and they get all bent out of shape. They say, well, why are we thinking about divorce? You know, well, the truth is that everyone who has been divorced, never got into marriage thinking that they would be divorced. They may have contemplated, but they never thought that that would happen to them. No one enters a contract like marriage thinking that, okay, well, this is temporary. You think that it's forever. But the truth of it is that every one in every two marriages here in the United States ends in divorce. So there is a reality to it that we need to be conscious of. And in this Bible passage, like I said, a very awkward one, because Jesus says, they come up to Jesus saying, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife, to put away his wife, are the words that are used, for every cause. And Jesus says, have you not read, he that created them male and female, and said, for this reason shall a man leave his father and his mother. Look, get that. The man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cling to his wife, and they are no longer two but one flesh. And what God has joined together, let no man ever separate. In other words, he's saying the power of that union, the power of that marriage bond is so intense that you cannot separate it. And so the Pharisees who were testing him turn to him and they say, okay, that's fine, but if that's the case, why did Moses, you know, after all, Moses the law, why did Moses give us this law that says that, okay, you can put away your wife under these conditions, primarily because of adultery? Why did Moses establish this rule of divorce, this letter of divorce? And Jesus said, because of the hardness of your heart. And that's where I want to stop right now and really talk about the underlying message that comes to us. Because this is not a story about just divorce laws. You know, life has changed since the times of Jesus. Today, all of the evil that we see in families taking place, domestic abuse, violence, the hitting, the battery, verbally, emotionally, and physically, could have all been hidden back then if it took place. I don't have any stats. But today it is all up front. Today we're seeing that day in and day out. And to tell you the truth, if people do not divorce, they are in grave danger of their lives, of their children's lives. Because we're seeing this. I mean, last Saturday, I was at the Women's Correctional Facility, the jail in Los Angeles. And here you see women who are battered, who are abused, and basically at the end of their rope. And you see this all over. And for us to just sit back and saying, well, you know, there is no way of getting out of marriage. That's, you know, life has changed. Life is different. We have a different set of circumstances. Definitely, there is a different openness. There is a different way in which women can express themselves. So this passage is not about divorce, nor do I want to talk about the divorce, because it's much greater than that. It's about the hardness of heart. And, you know, I was talking with a friend of mine the other day, and he mentioned this idea, because, you know, last week we were doing this Bible study about about wealth. And I'll never forget, because there was a young man who came to that Bible study and never came back again. It reminded me of the rich man who comes to Jesus and says, what must I do to inherit God's kingdom? And Jesus says, sell everything and give it to the poor. And this guy couldn't do it, and he walks away. Well, likewise, it was a few weeks ago. We had this young man who came and he listened to this Bible study. And it just so happened that we were studying Timothy. And in there it said, the love of money is the root of all evil. And he was very disturbed by this. He says, this is the disconnect. He says, this country is built on money. He says, you can do a lot of great things with money. And I had to point out to him that it wasn't money that was the root of all evil, but the love of money. That hardness of heart is about our feelings that are deep inside. And I want you today to challenge yourself to look at what's inside of your heart. What really makes you tick? You know, a lot of times, well, just like Ani's bubbles a few minutes ago, right? What can change? You can't change a lot of things, but you can change yourself. And once you find that change for yourself, you can effectuate so many other things, including your family, including your community, and ultimately the world. So let's begin with ourselves. Where is that hardness of heart? Yeah, we see it in all kinds of people. We see it all around us. We see it in the business world. We see it in our families. Can we see it in ourselves? Do we find the hardness of heart in ourselves? Have we been slapped around? Has life given us too many difficulties that maybe our hearts have gotten hard, are no longer sensitive to the love and joy that is all around us? As I said, I was talking to a friend and I mentioned this young man who had come to Bible study and had left because he was upset that how dare you talk about wealth when after all it is that wealth that buys you all of this goodness in life. And we continued talking about that passage, and you remember Jesus says, he turns to his people and he says, it is easier for the camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter heaven. And we were discussing this passage because obviously Jesus is not talking about, you know, doing away with wealth. He's talking about the trappings of wealth, the love of that money that prevents us from entering the beauty that God has in store for us. And it's interesting because in the passage he doesn't say that the rich man cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. He says that it is easier, meaning that there is a way, but it is easier for the camel to go through the eye of the needle. And this friend of mine, who was also, he was the one that I went to the prison with. He does a very successful prison ministry all on his own. And he shared with me this little thought that he had. He says, what is the only way that the camel can go through the eye of the needle? And it says it first has to bend down. It first has to be destroyed, disintegrated, to go through that eye of the needle and then come out as a camel. And if you think about it, isn't that where our ego stands? Our ego, which is trapped by all the trappings of this world, including that wealth, it needs to be crumbled. It needs to be destroyed. In other words, we need to put all of our wants and desires somewhere else, so that we can become small enough to go through that eye of the needle, so that we can enjoy all that God has in store for us, so that we can see the beauty of God's world. And Jesus over and over reminds us of this in all of his parables. Remove the log out of your eye, he says, so that you can see easily the speck in your brother's. In other words, we have the cloud, we have the difficulties around us. Get rid of those, and you'll see that there is a beautiful life out there. And so in this passage, Matthew chapter 19, superficially he talks about divorce, but underlying it is this conflict between body and, let's say, between heart and brain. It's interesting because I was thinking about this, and last Saturday night we were at a screening of, guess what, of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. It's actually Dr. Jekyll in the movie. This is the 1931 classic, directed by Ruben Mamoulian and starring my all-time favorite, Frederick March. Dr. Jekyll, of course, separates this personality within him. And it was interesting because I was thinking about my sermon for the next day and separating the brain from the heart. Because, in fact, doesn't Jesus always direct us to think with our heart and not with our brain? But you and I both know that some of the biggest difficulties that we have in life are caused when we think with the heart. The heart is vulnerable. The brain is logical. The brain says A plus B equals C. The heart says that sometimes it may equal D, and it's okay if A minus B equals C. In other words, there are many ways of looking at the same situation. But in that, we know that we can fail the test. In other words, we can get hurt. But God is saying, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that hurt, because there are some great things that you can find, you can discover about yourself, and ultimately be a benefit for the world. This is a difficult one. Of course it is. But it's the basis on which our faith is defined. Think about it for a moment. In the Old Testament, it was this very negative kind of religion, wasn't it? It was about don't do this, don't do that. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Don't commit adultery. Don't kill. Don't envy. In Jesus' New Testament, what is he saying? He's turning it around, and instead of making it a negative reality, he's saying do. Do love. Do care. Do reach out. Do these things. Love one another. And certainly Jesus, you're not telling me that that's easy. No, he's saying it's not easy. In fact, those are the actions of your heart. Whereas in the Old Testament, it was actions of your brain. You don't steal because it's not right. In the New Testament, you love because it is right. You care because it is right, even though the consequences sometimes mean some difficulties. Even though those consequences sometimes mean some hardships, unpleasantness in life. In our church, we have the seven deadly sins. If you think about it, think about what those are, namely pride, envy, sloth, anger, covetousness, gluttony, lust. Those are the underlying expressions of the heart. While what we typically call sin are usually expressions of the brain. Do not steal. Stealing is not the sin. Having that lust for something else, having that envy for your neighbor's property, having that greed, those are the sins. Do not kill. Killing is not the sin. Now, I'm not advocating. Don't go out and kill somebody. But that's not the sin. The sin is what? Is the anger, the laziness, the gluttony that's in your heart that causes you to do these actions. And it is so important for us to separate that. And that's why Jesus expresses it in these terms. He says, it is because of the hardness of your heart that Moses gave you those laws. But I tell you that there's something greater over here. It's the purity of heart. It's the softness of the heart. It's the ability to reach out and to love and care for others. The message that comes to us over and over and over again throughout the gospel traditions, throughout everything that Jesus talks about, is to don't be scared to think with your heart, to open your heart, even though it does cause you hardships. Don't be scared of that, because you are not people with hardness of heart. The calcification hasn't taken place. Those laws are meant for people who have hardened hearts. But when you walk with the soft heart, when you start thinking with the heart that God has placed inside of you, the bleeding heart, you are able to give, you are able to love, you are able to share. And that, yes, there are hurts in that. Every one of you, I know, everyone listening to me, who has loved another human being in life, has given and has been hurt. That's an axiom. If you love, you get hurt. That's part of it. But that's not the end of it. You love because it is right to love. You don't need the laws. You don't need somebody to spell it out for you because your heart is in tune with God. And God is speaking to you, telling you that, yes, there are difficulties in life. Jesus says it so plainly. Courage, the victory is mine. I have overcome the world. What's the first word he says? Courage. In other words, have faith. Believe that what you're doing is right. Have that courage, that God is with you. And don't worry, because I have overcome the world. And if I have, you can overcome it too. You can overcome it with the same power that Jesus had 2,000 years ago in his life, and throughout the centuries, throughout the millennium, throughout the existence of time and space itself, Christ has demonstrated over and over the power of love being manifest in all aspects of life.
Yes, God, John, Barnett, it's all clouds. Yes, Bar, God's in Honorin. I ask as Yeskin Kinaras. Ein der ist April im Germanaki. Ein der Menk April im Germanaki. Ein der ist April im Germanaki. Ein der Menk April im Germanaki. Ein der ist April im Germanaki. Ein der Menk April im Germanaki.
Well, we hope you enjoyed today's show. We got through quite a bit of stuff. That, of course, was the beautiful voice and talent and songs of Gor Mkhitaryan. We always have a link to his music on our show notes. Please do check him out. Incredible music for an incredible age. And talk about somebody singing from the heart. Oh, you got it there. That is the Spirit album, by the way. Still available on our website. Do check it out. Hey, listen, for all the wonderful people who made today's podcast a possibility, I want to thank you all for joining us and remind you that you can continue to join us throughout the week at inhisshoes.org as well as epostle.net, where you'll find podcasts, broadcasts, all kinds of information. Want to also stress how important it is right now to get involved in what's going on in Darfur by making your voice heard. Do check out our websites on ways that you can get involved. Finally, before I go, I just want to remind you to put down on your calendar October 14th through 16th. We're going to try to put together something in Las Vegas to coincide with the New Media Expo, and that's what we're doing over here. We're doing new media, taking Armadoxy to a new media. Just mark it on your calendar. Hopefully we'll have some information in the next couple days, couple weeks, and we'll be sharing that with you. Also, please drop us a note. We'd love to hear from you. We appreciate all of the email that we get. We read everything. Can't promise that we'll get back to you, but we do read everything. And very shortly, I think in the next few weeks, as soon as we can find some time, I do want to make just a podcast where we share some of the highlights of some of the mail that we have received, in particular the last couple episodes, one with Ara Arzumanyan and the one with Bishop Alamezian has been very thought-provoking to many of our listeners. Hey, listen, for all the wonderful people who put this podcast together, for Susie, our producer, for Ken, our engineer, for Ani and her bubbles, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again at epostle.net and, of course, next week when we take the next step.
Trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again. next week.